questions. Good morning.
Good morning.
Greetings to each one here this morning. We welcome you here this morning to this part of the service. I was blessed with the things that were shared here this morning already. Trust that our minds were stirred. I was a little puzzled, and maybe Spencer can help me out, how you take a knotted rope that's patched together and turn it into a rope that doesn't have any knots in it. But it made me think of, I appreciated that children's lesson. It made me think of the last time I was here and sharing in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, it talks about our own righteousness and how God looks at that. And when we take our life and try to patch it up and do better and make ourselves somehow look acceptable, how God looks at that as that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And sometimes we find ourselves stumbling over that. But I believe that when our rope is clear, we are depending on repentance in our relationship with God, and that that is beautiful in the sight of Jesus. When he looks at us and sees our repentant life and the things that are coming out of our lives, he looks at them as a beautiful thing, and he is pleased with his people when we are living in that state. This morning, I'd like to look at our lives again in what spiritual growth looks like. And sometimes maybe we're even troubled in that in ourselves as we look at that and desire that and what that should look like and maybe even how we get there. And as I was pondering that, I was thinking about a journey, a road trip that we take, and there's two people in two different vehicles wanting to take a road trip. And they have a goal in mind that's maybe many miles away, hours of driving or days of driving. And the goal is to get to wherever that destination is. One person will get in his vehicle and be miserable about it and just like, well, I need to get to my destination. And that's the focus. And everything that comes along is just a nuisance when they run out of gas or run low in gas or need to stop for a restroom. And it's just a difficult trip. And finally, they get to their destination. And the other one takes it on as a journey. And he expects to have rest stops, and he expects to have fuel stops and time to stop and get refreshed. And they embrace the journey. And they get to their destination with joy. If we observe those two people traveling, and we would have a choice of who we would want to journey with, which one would we choose? Those that just have the end goal in mind and everything else is in the way and they're just miserable till they get there. I think we would choose to go with the one that is taking the journey with joy and working through the obstacles and is a blessing and is growing along the way. And I think that's how our our spiritual journey is supposed to look like. But sometimes we forget that as we go through life and these unexpected pit stops arise and we need extra breaks or things happen that take us what we think off course. Maybe we can just pause and have prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we stand before you here this morning, we just thank you for the blessings that we have. We thank you that we can be gathered together here this morning. And I just pray, Lord, as we as we look into your word, I just pray, Lord, that you would minister to each one of our needs. I just pray that you would give me the ability to share the things that you have laid upon my heart, that I could share them in a way that would speak to us, Lord. We just desire to be fed this morning, Lord, and we just are depending on you. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, just a couple of verses here that I'd like to look at. Going down to verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all, pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So we just look at that little passage there, those few verses there. We see a journey here, and it would appear that there's some patience that needs to be in place and long-suffering. But as we read these verses and we start pulling them apart, we see that it's supposed to be a joyful journey, and a heart that is thankful. And we were reminded of that this morning in the beginning of the service there about worship and thanksgiving. And as I was pondering that, rising up in the middle of the night and praising God, and I think there's a message there that it's something that's coming from within our lives. When we wake up, we realize who we are, and we know that we have purpose, and we are thankful. And whenever we think of the Lord, we just feel thankful that we have opportunity to live. And that's not something that we can produce ourselves, but it's a changed life. It's something that happened in our lives, that when we found Jesus, and that relationship grows in our lives. So in these verses here, we look at growth, and we think about growth. It's learning to know how God wants us to live. And we see, talks about knowledge, means that we gain understanding. And wisdom is we know that God has a plan for us, and talks about understanding. We have insight, in some of the things that God would have us to do. He turned with me to Mark chapter 4, just a couple of verses here. Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 32 here, the parable of the mustard seed. And this is something that is hard for us to grasp at times. And he said, "Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." These couple of verses here, when we begin, we have to be that small mustard seed. We're nothing of ourselves. And God brings forth fruit out of our lives. And as we're sowing, we grow into this herb. And we see this parable here. It grows in as many branches. And the fowls of the air find rest there. As our lives, as we live for God, as these verses become true in our lives, we see people, we are attracted to people that this is a reality, and we find encouragement in these people's lives. And that's what God wants to create in each one of us. As we grow up to be men and women for God, and as we live for Him, He wants us to be like this bush that people can find encouragement in. When we think about the spiritual growth and what that looks like, something that I would like to keep reminding us is the journey and what that journey should be like and can be is to enjoy the journey. How do we enjoy the journey when it's difficult and hardships come along, as we see in Colossians? We can embrace it. Embracing it and knowing that we are in the hands of God. And when we hand our lives over to the Lord, it brings peace. Chad mentioned that this morning in the children's lesson, when you're on a river or a stream, that when there's no winds and it's quiet and the sun is reflecting just right, it's totally still. And it gives, in creation, it gives you a peace, and it feels good to see that. And that's the kind of peace that we can experience in the midst of a troubled world. We can sit there in the hands of God and know we can experience that kind of peace. And I know there's many testimonies of people that have betrayed that in trying times when they hand their life over to God and know that it's going to be okay. So learning to enjoy the journey, learning to embrace it, and the results of that is when we do that, we will, it automatically brings forth fruit. And it's hard to see it, just like in this parable here. in Mark, that mustard seed, it's just a little seed. And when someone just yields and hands their life to God, and it just looks little, and it looks like it doesn't, you can't measure it. You can hardly see it. But you start seeing the fruit of it. And it's amazing. And as you see that fruit growing forth from that little seed that was planted, and it's very attractive, and people are encouraged, and our souls are encouraged, and others are encouraged in it. In Psalms 34, verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." That is what we experience when we do that. We taste and see that the Lord is good, and blessed is the man that trusts in him. 1 Peter 2. Starting in verse 1, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, a lively stone, are built up, a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." In verse 1 there, talks about basically taking off one garment so you can put on another. Taking off one to put on another, and to embrace, as we walk through these verses, to embrace that journey. And we will see that verse 3, "If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." As we live life, and as we do that, it becomes more and more, we're again and again convinced that, and we see with our own eyes and hands, that God is gracious, and that he wants to have a relationship with us, just like Chad showed us, demonstrated to us this morning. He doesn't want that relationship that is patched together, but he wants a relationship that is based on understanding who we are, and that we're not good enough of ourselves or in ourselves, but that when we accept him and when we repent of our ways and embrace his forgiveness, that we can experience a clean slate with him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Talks about paying attention and take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and reminds us to continue in them. And it tells us that there's going to be benefits there for us and for those that are observing. again, as we are living this, as we're going through this journey, to embrace this journey. We don't want to be the one that, as trials come, as unexpected things come in our way, that they're all a nuisance. And it's like, we just need to get these things out of the way so we can get to our destination. We're looking for that big and exciting thing that we think is going to get us to where we finally have arrived. God wants to use us along the way. And I believe that He wants to see us in that state of just that small mustard seed, and that we're planted and we're trusting, and we realize that my efforts isn't what's going to do it, but it's a life that is surrendered and isn't looking to make a show of myself, but that God's gonna grow something out of our lives that is beautiful. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. When we look at that verse, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This person that is on a journey and is embracing the journey, and we look at a little mustard seed that is growing, and the roots go down and get established, and the plant grows up, that person isn't going to be tossed to and fro. And that's where God wants to bring us, that we're in the midst of when many people are tossed to and fro, that we can experience that peace, that river that is just has no ripples, and we just keep floating down the river and enjoying and embracing God's love in the midst of those things. And they have no effect on us, and no, again, we're embracing that journey and just learning along the way. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 12, for when, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See where our journey as believers, where our journey begins, and where God wants to bring us. Strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, continuing on towards maturity. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Verse 5, we look at the vine and the branches here, but I'd like to point out verse 5 here. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I am him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Abiding is the only way that we will go through life and grow. Not doing it in our own strengths, but to journey to have God walking beside us, to not allow that rope to be broken. So abiding in Christ, and it tells us here in the end of this verse, I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We're reminded here in this verse the need to walk, to abide, and that if we try to do it on our own, that we will not accomplish what we're trying to do. So as we look at these verses, our commitment to Christ is what makes all the difference. It's what changes us. It's what that little seed what grows and turns into a beautiful bush that brings fruit forth and brings encouragement to others. Our commitment to Christ is what makes that happen, and it's what enables us to, as we go through this journey, enables us to enjoy or to embrace that journey as we grow in Christ. And it's in our minds, we like to think that if we can get from point A to point Z, that somehow we just need to get there. But I'd like to remind us that is our life journey. That is life. And it's a little bit maybe like a child that is in first grade, and well, they can't wait till they're in third grade so they're like the rest of their friends, and they're so concerned about being in third grade that they can't even enjoy where they're at, or they miss all the opportunities that they had because they were so focused about being somewhere else. Like maybe they'll be smart like the rest of their friends. And so that's the encouragement that I would like to leave with us here this morning, is that let's not do that. Let's embrace life as we go from day to day, and as we wake up in the middle of the night, that we can, or in the middle of a hardship, that we can rise up and realize that God is good, and that I'm here. I know that God is going to take care of me, and I'm going to embrace it, and I can rejoice in it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14 to 16. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Here we are encouraged not to forget the things that God has given us to do, but to meditate upon these things. Give thyself fully to them, that thy profiting may appear to all, that other people may be blessed. We're to grow in these things, in speaking into each other's lives and being a benefit to ourselves, to others, and ultimately that our lives would bring honor and glory to God. Think about dreaming, decisions, and discipline. These are all things that, as believers, we need to take on. Where we believe God would have us to be, and to take that on. And we make, based on that, we make decisions to get us there. And often when we process things, we see areas in our lives that we realize need disciplining and that we need to work on. And that's a process. Our spiritual walk, growth, is intentional. It's something that we intentionally pursue. It's not just something that happens by itself. I believe that God calls us and he reminds us and he shows us and he ultimately leaves it to us of how we're going to live, how we're going to journey through those things. Are we going to be that driver that is driving to his destination with joy and embracing the travel? Or are we going to be the one that is, everything that comes along is just a nuisance and frustration? And if all those other drivers would have done what they would were supposed to do, I wouldn't have been in so many predicaments. So we get to choose. In Colossians, chapter 2, looking at verse 6 and 7, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Again, we're reminded here how to walk, to how our faith should look, and how we should be responding. We should be walking in a attitude of thankfulness, not complaining. Something we're many, probably all of us are. It's when things don't go the way that we feel like they should. Or sometimes even if we don't feel good about ourselves, we find ourselves complaining. scripture reminds us over and over again that we should find opportunity. We should look at things that we can be thankful for. And we can always, if we have eyes that can see, we can always find something that brings joy into our hearts and lives. In closing, again, going back to Mark chapter 4, we look at the parable of the mustard seed, and he said, "There, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth." Something very small. We like when things are big and exciting. We like often to be part of something that we can grab a hold of it. We can feel it. We can see it. And we like when people can see, we like to be able to see progress. And we can, if we stick with it here in this parable here, it's very small. It goes into the ground, is sown, and it's the smallest seeds. In verse 32, "But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it." When we follow God's way, when we yield our lives to Him, and when we choose to live for Him, not to bring glory to ourselves, not to bring glory to some program of some sorts, but when our focus is to be yielded and to be lives, instruments for Jesus, these three verses, I think, describe it pretty well of what happens. And we see many people like that. I'm sure we all have people that we have been encouraged by, that we have drawn encouragement, and it's like, I want to be like that person. I see God working in their lives. And they probably all have started, like we see in these verses. They have yielded their lives to Him and are just carefully walking and living for Jesus. And as their life goes on, as they come into maturity and their life is like this glass of water that has no ripples in it, as they mature into a mature believer for Jesus, that becomes very obvious. And that's who God wants each one of us to be. And I just, again, want to encourage you to allow God to work that out in your life. And life is full. And when we look at our journey, I encourage you, embrace that journey. And as things come along, embrace them, learn from them, and give it to God when we don't understand, and turn around and give it back to the Lord again and again. And God will, I know that God will bless each one of us as we do that. May the Lord bless.